In 2007, my wife Lisa and I purchased a home in North Charleston, South Carolina. It was this little house on the corner of Celtic Boulevard, and it was a simpler time, let's just say that. Before COVID or any of that, before kids, things were quiet, and it was simple. As fall crept in, the weather started to turn cooler, we began to sleep with our windows open. And early one morning, we realized that we were not exactly alone. It was early one morning, mostly about 4:30, in the pre-dawn hours, a mockingbird landed on the bush outside of our window, started to sing his little heart out. Now, this sounds like a Disney movie, right? Except it wasn't. It was 4:30 in the morning. This 2-ounce megaphone of melodic joy might as well have been on the pillow sitting right next to me. I had no idea that a bird could be so annoying. There were moments when things were yelled. I had a vague memory in some early morning hour of a shoe being thrown. All because this little bird was singing his little heart out outside of our window. This morning, I want to trace a theme in Scripture. This morning, I want to trace this theme that we see repeated again and again, and particularly in the section of the Gospels that we have read together this morning, this Palm Sunday Scriptures. And it's this theme of crying out. Now, normally when we think of crying out, we think of that in a negative light, right? We cry out. When I broke my ankle about a year ago, when that happened, I cried out. When you stub your toe, you cry out, right? We've all done that. Maybe I've done that. But you cry out, and there's a crying out to the Lord that happens. And we think of this in the negative. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, this is what the Lord writes. This is what is written. Verse 7, then the Lord said, surely I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry, and because they're taskmasters, and I know their suffering, and I've come down and delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. This is an important aspect of our faith, that when we cry out, God hears us. That when we cry out, God responds. We can call this a crying out too. Life is hard. We know that as the people of God, we can cry out. And we have a good and perfect and heavenly Father who responds, because that's what a father does. But there's a difference between crying out to God out of our suffering and responding joyfully because of what he has done. I want to look at how those two things differ this morning. Before we open the text, would you pray with me? Father, we would hear Jesus this morning. Father, we would see Jesus this morning. Father, we would know Jesus this morning as revealed through your scriptures. And so, Lord, would you open our ears, open our eyes, open our throats as we cry out together because of the gospel that you have provided. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So crying out can be a response to pain, a response to anguish, a response to suffering, and we see that through the pages of Scripture. But there's another way that we as believers in Jesus Christ cry out, and that's a crying out of excitement, a crying out of amazement at what God is doing and has done. Luke will begin his gospel with an example of this. This is a really familiar text. I'm sure you know it. Luke chapter 2, and the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. There is a response out of heaven at the arrival of Jesus Christ. There is a crying out. Heaven cannot contain itself because Christ is born. My family and I are hockey fans, and hockey, like as in soccer, is not exactly a high-scoring sport. But when the puck finds itself in the back of that net, when the ball is snuck past the goalie, there is an eruption, right? Because it's unexpected. There's a crying out because something has happened in our presence. Gina read Matthew 21 earlier. And Matthew is this retelling of the story of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. It's what we call the text for Palm Sunday. You heard Luke's account of that as we were standing outside, thankful that it is warm inside. This is how Matthew tells it. They brought a donkey and a colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them, and most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowd that went before him and followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The crowd responds to what Jesus is doing, to his arrival. The other gospel writers in the New Testament, they would use the phrase that he are crying out. Not crying out because of oppression, although they were an oppressed people because of Rome. But they are crying out because this is an emotional response to what the Lord is doing. It's the same word in the original language that we use for the sound that a crow makes. A cawing or a croaking. My grandparents had a great garden next to their house. And with their garden, with the corn and the cabbage and all of the crops, they had a great crow problem. And so what do you do when you have a crow problem in your garden? You put up a? No, you put up a line of pie tins that brave in the wind and scare away the crow. But what I learned was that you don't need to scare away all the crows. You just need to scare away one. And once that one flies off, the others follow. Once that one sounds, once that one cries out, the others follow. Normally, we look for the one that is crying out, and the gospel shows us that this morning. The crowds in Matthew's gospel are crying out. This foretaste, this foreshadowing of every tribe and every tongue, and every nation around the throne of God. Revelation chapter 5, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Crying out is a natural response. We see a pattern that starts to emerge here. Have you noticed it yet? We always want to be careful when we study Scripture. Paul would say to Timothy, "Rightly handle the word of truth." Yet it seems that there is this pattern that God acts and we react. God moves and we respond. God initiates and we cry out with joy. When was the last time you cried out with joy? The crowds react, "Glory to God in the highest." We talked about the angels on the hillside. That's how Luke's gospel begins. How does Luke's gospel enter its final act? Do you know? Chapter 19, verse 37. He was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, and the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice, praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Now, Luke is a physician by trade. He is a detailed guy. He's the kind of guy you want doing the operation, right? And he's writing these things and he's giving us an account and he's really specific. They're calling out, not angelic choruses, not the unwashed masses. These are the disciples, the followers of Jesus that are calling out because of what they have seen. And the Pharisees come and say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." quiet them. Do you know what Jesus says next? He says, if I tell you, if these were silent, even the rocks would cry out. The very stones would cry out. If my disciples stopped their voices, if they went silent, then even the very stones would cry out. Isaiah 55:12, for you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Even that little bird that sat outside our window in the ungodly hour was just crying out, because he knows that in the dark of night, God is sending the dawn, and what a better time to sing. I want to take us to one more place in the scriptures. It's a bit of an unconventional place. Not exactly a scripture that's read on Palm Sunday, but it's Galatians chapter 4. This is chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. God sends his Son into the world, born under the law. God sends his Spirit into our hearts. And the response is that we cry out. What is the beautiful repercussive response of this divine act of grace and beauty and mercy? It is a crying out to God, you are Father, you are Abba. Do you know God as Father, as Abba? Do you desire to? Do you want your heart to cry out? Deeply know that it is not something like the right song or the right atmosphere or the right moment or the right book that will help that happen. You can drum up emotion, and we're not afraid of emotion. But if you want your heart to cry out, Abba, Father, then God sends his Spirit into our hearts. You need to know the presence if you want to experience the power. Do you know his presence? Do you know the presence of the Lord this morning? Do you sense it? Do you feel it? Do you see it? Today is Palm Sunday, and in the big telling of the gospel, today is the Sunday that we remember Christ arriving into Jerusalem. He will be our Passover lamb, the eternal one, once and for all, welcoming saints and sinners home. And if your heart longs to cry out, Abba, Father, then the invitation this week is to come into that story. Enter into that story. And know that you don't walk that alone. We call these next 7 days Holy Week. It's a walking with Jesus through the last week of his life. The invitation is, if you want to know the presence of God, come and join us as we walk with Jesus through the last week of his life, through his death, and into the joy of Easter morning. Tuesday morning, we're going to gather in here for a morning of morning prayer, a simple service followed by communion. Thursday evening, we're going to gather here for what is called Maundy Thursday. Maundy is just another word. We get the word mandate from it. It's where Jesus gives this command that we are to love one another as we have been loved. We'll gather in here in the evening of Good Friday in a darkened church to remember a dark day, but a dark day with a beautiful ending. I would invite you to join us this week as we walk through this season together, because this week is the big inhale. before the glorious exhale on Easter morning, a morning that begins with a crying out that Christ is risen and the Lord is risen indeed. Do you know him as that this morning? Do you desire your heart to call out, Abba, Father? Then ask the Lord to send his Spirit into your heart. Walk with us this week that we can arrive next Sunday with the good news of great joy on our lips. Would you pray with me? Father, I believe that you are working this morning. That you are moving this morning, that your Spirit is present among us as every morning. So, Father, would you send your Spirit into our hearts that we might cry out, Abba, Father, we might see you as our good and heavenly Father, and we might know the glory of your Son, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Christ, and our King. Father, would you be present with us as we walk through this week of Holy Week? And would you fill our hearts with a crying out of joy on Easter morning. Prime that pump, Lord Jesus, we pray. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed?